I've always loved the idea of trains. My grandpa worked for the Milwaukee Road. One time I got to go along when my dad dropped him off at Union Station in Chicago, and my grandpa showed me a sleeper car and the dining car. It all seemed so sophisticated and adventuresome. For a six-year-old girl, the train provided a lot of food for thought, too. Beautifully lettered "No Spitting" signs hung in every car. I couldn't imagine anyone, much less the sophisticated adults I pictured traveling by train, not realizing you should never spit on a train. The mystique of those "No Spitting" signs stayed with me when Russ and I brought our kids to a railroad gift shop a couple decades ago. I bought myself a metal "No Spitting" sign as well as a Milwaukee Road sign. Except for the Chicago L, I never rode a train myself until my first 2 years of college. Russ and I attended different schools at first, and he and I often took the Grand Trunk Railroad between Chicago and East Lansing, Michigan, and the Illinois Central between Chicago and Champaign to spend weekends at home or visit each other. Between urban centers, trains pass through a lot of beautiful and fairly wild areas, and even before I became a birder, I loved looking out the window and noticing birds, even if I didn't know what they were. But once we got married and bought our first car, Russ and I stopped traveling by train. So in all the 39 years I've been a birder, I never once rode a train until just last week. I badly wanted to hear Joel Greenberg, author of A Feathered River Across the Sky, The Passenger Pigeon's Flight to Extinction, who was speaking in North Chicago on February 20th. I dreaded the thought of driving all the way. I think I've encountered one too many blizzards in Wisconsin in the past several years, and suddenly it occurred to me that I could take the train. I looked up the Amtrak schedule, and it was actually fairly affordable, even more so because I'm 62, exactly the right age to qualify for the senior discount. I did have to drive to the station, where I left my car in the free parking lot. After that, I left the driving to Amtrak. My train was behind schedule, but I got to spend that time working on a writing project and visiting one of my friends who lives near the station. The station itself is very pleasant, quiet, well-lighted, and staffed by friendly, helpful people. Once I boarded the train, I was in heaven. The eastbound Empire Builder passes through some of the loveliest places along the Mississippi River, and I spent a lot of time gazing out the window at lots and lots of bald eagles, along with red-tailed and rough-legged hawks, an exciting variety of ducks, and even a smattering of snow buntings, Lapland longspurs, and horned larks. Sadly, the delay meant I had five fewer hours of daylight for birding from the train, but that gave me more time to work on some writing projects after the sun went down. My return train left in mid-afternoon when the February sun was starting to get low in the sky, but in the stretch between Chicago and Milwaukee, I got a lovely look at a snowy owl along with plenty of waterfowl. I didn't see a single "No Spitting" sign on either trip, but I guess we can't have everything. Russ and I have always longed to take a long trip in a sleeper car, and now I'm even hungrier for that. Different Amtrak lines take different routes, and I'd love to try them all. My Amtrak birding list right now includes about 20 species, and suddenly I'm yearning to see just how high I can bring it. Riding the train may be a little more unpredictable than driving thanks to the high number of delays because freight trains have priority on the limited tracks, but it uses less energy than flying or driving. I wish we had better rail infrastructure to avoid the delays, but even they seemed like a small price to pay for such a pleasant, no-hassle, productive trip that provided such exciting birding to boot. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.